Adam, morning to you, mate. How are you?
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. Yeah, well, good to get Union Gap home there yesterday. I would have loved the favourite to stay in the race, actually, Jared. The favourite came out scratching time yesterday morning, so we had to cop a fair bit of deductions, and I thought my horse was a chance of winning and winning at the better odds. So anyway, it doesn't matter. Can't complain. We've got a winner home. So I'm just intrigued about this Lenny Daly business. Your life could have gone in a very different direction.
It could have done, Adam.
Would it have worked?
Lenny Daly?
Len Daly. Lenny Daly. I think I've told you before.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah. It's going to be Lenwich.
No, you'd be Lenny.
Obviously, you would have shortened it to Lenny.
Lenny and Carl off the Simpsons, but anyway.
Well, it's funny, boss. I've got a very similar story in my life, because my dad was obviously, I've grown up to be a massive Manchester United fan. I was actually born in the year that Manchester United played Everton in the FA Cup final in 1985. It was just before I was born, and my parents had sort of made some agreement to name me after the guy who scored the winning goal if Manchester United won the game. Well, Manchester United won that game 1-0. The problem was that the guy who scored the goal went by the name of Norman Whiteside. So I was going to be Norman.
Norman Pengilly.
And then my parents said, we can't call our son Norman. So we better go for something else.
Well, everyone named Norman listening to the program now has got it in for you, Norm Pengilly.
Norm. Hello to all the Normans out there. You sound like you're 80, Norm Pengilly.
Can you imagine which way my life would have been if I was called Norman as a 5 and 6 year old?
We've got Norm from Curry, you Texy.
Norman Len. That's who we could have been, Adam.
Saturday's racing, what a day. I think Cylinder, I know it's short, but I just think it just wins the size on the weekend.
Oh, it's the A-grade form, isn't it, Jared? The Golden Slipper usually coming to the size, isn't it? And what he's done so far and what he's done in his preparation, the Todman, and he was very, very brave in the Golden Slipper behind Shinzo there. A big gap back to third, I thought, with King's Gambit and Don Corleone, Empire of Japan, finishing behind him. I think the only issue is going to be just running out a strong 14, isn't it, really? That's the only way you could probably see him getting better if he doesn't quite get the trip, and he maybe he's just trained off a little bit. But having said that, he looks the logical one on paper, doesn't he? Nice gait, he's got all the proper form, and I think James is obviously desperate to try and get a Group 1 into him as a two-year-old and kick on with the rest of his career. And only a couple of horses coming out of that Golden Slipper this year. I was Don Corleone and Empire of Japan. The rest of them are sort of taking the different form lines. I'm keen to see, Jared, just what Cafe Millennium does. He was outstanding on debut there in that race where he seemed to be running off his legs at Pierrot Plate and coming over the top of him. And then in the Todman, probably wasn't quite suited by the smaller field and the lack of tempo. So he might be a bit of smoky in the race. But yeah, I agree with you. I think it's probably Cylinder's race to lose at the moment.
I didn't see this, Adam, but did J-Mac have a fall yesterday?
Yeah, quite a scary little incident it was. He was riding Joseph O'Brien's horse called Temple of Artemis in the staying race. And the horse travelled like the winner from a long way out. I mean, just halfway down the straight, he sort of got the wobbles a little bit and looked like something went amiss. And James thankfully had the presence of mind to look behind him and make sure there was no traffic behind him, and he actually had to bail out and get off the horse. So thankfully he didn't have any major injuries there. He was fine to get back to the jockey's room. Unfortunately, the horse sustained some pretty serious injuries, had to be put down later in the afternoon. But thankfully, from James's point of view, he hasn't got any issues there, so he'll be free to ride on day one of the championships on the weekend. And that incident could have been far, far worse than what it was in the end there for James.
In the Congo's been retired.
Yeah, just the news come through last night, Jared, that he's run his final race after disappointing the William Reid down at Moonee Valley there last weekend. Obviously a horse who had won a Group 1, and he beat Animo in that Golden Rose, didn't he, a couple of years ago. So that was his feature success, and Newgate was standing him at stud. So he's been a good sprinter for a couple of seasons now, but unfortunately, from a racing point of view, we won't see him again, but he's going to be a very commercial stallion in the years to come.
I'm sure we've said it a million times, but have you seen a better bunch of fields than what we're seeing for Saturday Randwick.
Absolutely outstanding.
It is as good as it gets.
I just want this weather to hold off, Jared. That's the issue, isn't it? We just need this rain to go away. I'd love this track to get close to the good range. So,
well, it looks good the next couple of days.
Yeah,
Saturday's a slight chance of a shower. So
yeah,
today and tomorrow are pretty good.
We don't want that race day rain, do we? So that's the main issue. And just quickly back on Latrell, boys. I actually saw Latrell yesterday, and he was talking up being on Gowie's show because he'd done it earlier this week. So Latrell was quite keen to do it. And I asked him, I said, how did you go on that nearest to pin challenge? The one where Gowie gets him on that par three and measures how far they go. Without giving away too much, I think he went pretty close.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on that. But, mate, looking forward to getting your mail tomorrow. Have a good day.
See you, boys.